It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome, welcome to the next room. I'm really happy to have a super exciting guest for you this evening. You know, if you just tuned in and you're just starting to get familiar with the show, you know that I'm fascinated with what comes after life on this plane. I'm very curious. I'm always willing to talk about what's next. That allows me to connect with super interesting people who embrace this side of things, you know, the enriched side of life, which death is somewhere that, you know, none of us can avoid. We're all going to go and transfer into what is next eventually. So I like to dig deeper. I like to look for people that want to talk about death, dying, grieving, celebrating life, you know, and transition. And this person tonight is going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about all of these different things. Before we get started, the guest I had, Jan Warner, was so awesome. She's the lady from Grief Speaks Out on Facebook. She's got millions of followers. She's just so down to earth. And I had mentioned her great book called Grief Day by Day. And lo and behold, Jan sent me a box of Grief Day by Day. Not only that, but she autographed them. And she said, I hope you find love in this room and in the next room, which I thought was super cute and clever of her. So what I'd like you to do, if you're listening and you'd love to have Grief Day by Day, absolutely free and it's autographed, just go to the Next Room Facebook page and I'll go ahead and put a post on there and, you know, I'll just make it as simple as possible. If you want the book, and I'll just take the first, you know, five people that want to have the book and give me your address through a private message and then I'll send them out to you. So we're just going to keep it super easy since Jan was so sweet and gracious. Okay, on to this evening. My guest is Anne Murphy, and Anne is a celebrant, a home vigil guide, a death educator. This woman is a spiritual director. She is trained in the art of supporting people and families through the season of death and dying, through very heart-centered, compassionate, meaningful conversations, rituals, ceremonies. She serves on the board of directors or the Minnesota Death Collaborative Steering Committee. Sounds great. Minnesota Threshold Network Leadership Committee. And recently, she completed a term at the National Home Funeral Alliance Board. And she holds a BA from Northern Arizona University. Welcome to the show, Anne Murphy. You have it all. I cannot wait to dig in. How are you?
I'm great, Jane. Thank you for having me today. I'm really grateful to be on this program. And what a fitting title for the woman's book, Grief Day by Day. That's very fitting for grief. It is a day by day.
It really is. And it's cool. Yeah. She did a really nice little workbook and it breaks it down. And, you know, her big thing is that no one should tell you how to grieve or, you know, get over it. You know, that seems to be the standard thing that people think that you should only grieve.
Yes.
Like, oh, you know, it's been a year. What's wrong with you? Move on.
Mm-hmm.
Where, grief is a huge part of our mourning process and mm-hmm. everybody does it uniquely and should never be told how or when or what or timelines or any of that. So, yeah, it's
amen.
It's
more
a beautiful
of that.
Book.
We need
so.
To educate the public on that because yes. we can relearn that.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about, Anne, let's talk about what you do on a day-to-day basis and what is really important to you that you want to educate the listeners about.
Okay, well, one of the things that I find to be the most fulfilling part of my work is working with families. So that's in creating personalized funerals and memorial services, where I really get to know the people who I'm working with and then particularly get to understand who this person is who's died. And I'm in a particularly unique situation because I get to know this person in death, not in life. And so there's a whole different kind of atmosphere that's created and hearing stories and people sharing really intimate pieces of their life. And I find it to be an honor to be able to be a listener in that and creating a ceremony or a service that really reflects who this person is the best way that I can. So what I really would try to do is to take in the information that people give me and then kind of bring in pieces. I mean, as you know, a lot of us come from, grew up, myself, I grew up Catholic, but I kind of stepped out of that religion and became, more of a spiritual eclectic in a way. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of people who consider themselves spiritual but not religious, and there's many people who don't consider themselves spiritual at all. And so really, those are the clients that I tend to work for. People who do have religion in their lives have really wonderful rituals and ceremonies that are already ready and good to go. So generally, I'm working with people who are looking for something outside of, you know, a religious context. And so I've done, you know, we've sang Wham songs, You Gotta Have Faith, at ceremonies. We've done all kinds of things that maybe you wouldn't see necessarily if it was in a religious setting. And right. So I love the flexibility of that. I love the creativity in that. And really, in a lot of regards, I see people at their best, even though it's sometimes one of the worst times in their life. It's a difficult time, but wow, people show up in such beautiful ways when, death happens, that it's really life affirming in a lot of ways. People are surprised by that, but I really believe death is where it's at. And I would imagine you agree with that as well, since you're
absolutely
your podcast.
I think it's beautiful. I mean, because you're, the honoring of a life well lived, and I love the spiritual eclectic side of things as well. And I do want to say that the one thing I forgot to say is that your website's beautiful. It's called 1000hands.com. Mm-hmm. So, as you're listening tonight or after the interview, go check her out and go see what it's all about. Because whether or not you're in her neck of the woods, you can find somebody heart-centered to do this type of service anywhere on the planet.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think that's where we're headed too. It seems to me like the stigma and the old fashioned button down, everybody wears black. You can't make a peep. You certainly can't wail or laugh at a funeral. That's gone by the wayside.
It is starting to make its exit. Absolutely. And there's a whole resurgence of really reimagining what death could be. And so it's a practice of creation. It's a really beautiful moment where we're kind of looking at the old and saying, this doesn't fit for me anymore. And I want this. And so how do I go about this? And it's really, a lot of this is educating. And so another reason why I appreciate you doing this podcast is because we don't know until we do, right? So I tell people all the time as a home vigil guide that you can actually spend time with your loved one after death. And I'm shocked at the amount of people, including myself before I started doing this work, that didn't even know that that was a possibility or that embalming is not required by law. It's federally not required by law. But people aren't necessarily told that or haven't heard that or haven't done the research. And so a lot of what I'm doing is educating families about their rights as a consumer and their choices. And I'm not necessarily attached to one way or another, but what I am attached to is that people have the choices that are available and they know about them. And so they can choose what they want after death that best reflects who they are, their values, and their wishes. And so when we do a home vigil, that's where the body of a loved one stays at home or is brought home after death to be cared for by family members, friends, community, who come in and help out with that process. So that can look like a number of things. Sometimes people work with funeral directors. Sometimes they don't. Generally, when I work with families, I would call myself kind of like a hybrid vigil guide, where most of the families opt to work with a funeral guide, a funeral director, and myself. And so where I come in is people will oftentimes contact me prior to the death, but not always, and express their desire to have a home vigil and let me know, you know, what their wishes are and see if we're compatible. And then they call me at the time of death, and I come in with my supplies and I stay and guide the family and educate the family through sacred body washing. Sometimes we spend time anointing the loved one with the oils. I was with a family and the mother had died after a long illness, and she loved having her feet rubbed with this particular kind of lotion. And so the family spent all this time rubbing her feet with lotion and her hands with lotion and spending time with the body. It is this wonderful liminal space where families really and community members really have an opportunity to pause. Because as we know, death stops us. And it's a call to slow down. It's a call to be with what is. And home vigils really are an invitation to move into that transitional space. This person's no longer living, the body is still here. But generally within, you know, several hours up to a couple days, that body is no longer in that home.
Right.
And that's a huge change. And when that's done in a way that is rushed or is mishandled, it creates a secondary grief beyond the grief of just the loss.
Right.
Because people feel like they haven't had an opportunity to spend time with their mom or say goodbye to their father or get home on time because they don't live in the same state.
Right.
So really what home vigils do is they really invite people to be with death, you know, in whatever capacity they can. I was recently did a home vigil right before Christmas. And this was a beloved woman, beloved family. And we cleared out this room and we worked with the funeral director and she came in the morning and we put her on a massage table in a room that faced their backyard. And so it was a sunlit room and we brought flowers in and played soft music. And I guided the family through a body washing, just the husband and his two adult daughters, and it was just a glorious morning. Mm. 2 hours with songs and poetry and sharing, and then we spent time in that transition space acknowledging that all of a sudden we were going to open up the door to friends and other family members, and sure enough, by 11 o'clock when we opened up the doors, there were 50 people in the room. And then there were like 100 people in the room, people who had never been to a home vigil before, hadn't seen a dead body laid out like that, weren't encouraged to go in and touch it if they wanted to. All of this is optional. It's always choice.
Right.
To lay a flower on her, to read a poem, to speak to her. And to really honor this life. And wow, the response that I consistently get is, oh my gosh, this was life-changing for me. This transformed the way I understand death. I had no idea it was going to be so beautiful. I'm so grateful that I came. I really didn't want to come. This sounded really strange to me, but once I came in, I realized, and to me, it's this remembering. We know how to do this. We know how to bring in life, and we know how to usher it out. And it's just that we have forgotten. We have become part of a tremendous service industry that has done a wonderful job taking care of our dead. And I feel like we're at this place. We want to reclaim some of this for ourselves to a certain degree. Some of us want to be involved in all of it. But some of us just need that time and space after death. And working with funeral directors who are open to these types of experiences are starting to pop up. There are funeral directors who encourage home vigils. There are funeral directors that I know of who don't embalm and won't embalm and are doing things differently. So there is a change going on, and we're going to see some real interesting changes in the way we do death, I would say, in the next 10, 15 years. And we're already starting to see it a little bit. So it's a really, really beautiful time. And it's a wonderful time for people to just take stock in what they want, where their imagination can take them with this death. And right now, it really feels like there's an opening for change. And so it's been really wonderful to be a part of this. And I'm just heartened by the responses that I've gotten. And it's really the families that I've worked with who have allowed me to continue to do this work. Because without them, I wouldn't be able to do this. So, and when I what comes to mind for me is Jean Sinoda Boleyn, who's a Jungian, and she's just a dynamo writer and activist. And she wrote the book called The Millionth Circle, and it's about the idea that in a women's circle, in a community, in a talking sacred circle, that they will grow. If you see one, you participate in one, you do one yourself, so you lead one. And then you teach one, so you show somebody else how to do it. And I really feel this community directed after death care is that. So you participate in one, you see it, and you go, oh, yes, I want this. And then you do one for your loved one, or you ask for one yourself. And then you show somebody else how to do it. And I really feel like that's what a lot of this work, particularly around home vigils, is about. And it's just a really, it changes community. It changes the way we relate to each other, because it's a significant life event that we all are now connected to in this really beautiful, powerful way.
We have options, you know.
We have
choices. I'm sorry.
We do. We have options. We have choices. And we're going to continue to have more. And we are the consumer in all these things. And I think I'm always reminding people that you're the consumer. You need to ask for what you want. It's the funeral industry is a huge industry, and they're a business, and they will shift and adjust to what their consumers are asking for.
Absolutely. You know, and how lovely. I was listening to the story about the lady right before Christmas. And I'm thinking, for the daughters and the husband to be part of this loving ritual and to be part of the crossing over, because you're absolutely enamored and in love with this human being who has just left mm-hmm. their vessel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and you know, there is a lot of hurry, hurry, hurry. Let's get them embalmed. Let's get them in a casket. Let's get them in the ground, or let's send them over the incinerator or whatever. And I think that's what's missing, is that, you know, the thousand hands, the touch,
mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm.
love, and the energy surrounding that, saying, you know, I love this, even though I know they are no longer here, because the way I think is, you know, our soul or our energy transitions into the next room pretty quickly. You know, it's just mm-hmm. a vessel or a body laying there, mm-hmm. but still the love that we had for that particular human life form it's still in, that's, you know, it's in your heart, you know, and you have to, there's got to be a way to communicate that. So I love this after death care vigil idea. I'm rethinking everything for my children now, you know. Now I'm like, huh, you know, because it's this whole death thing, it's fascinating. And I keep finding more and more interesting people to talk to about this, because I do feel as Americans, we're slightly buttoned down about the celebration portion of the program. When you go to all these other countries mm-hmm. and other cultures, they celebrate the transition and death. Where we just kind of like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Nope, nope, nope. Oop, cry. Oop, can't cry out loud, you know. And so as Americans, I think we need this education.
Jane, you're speaking to the choir. I absolutely agree with you on all accounts. And fortunately, we do have some of those cultural stories, those intact cultures that are still practicing death in the way that they have for the millennia. And so I'm grateful to have those reminders that, yes, we are a part of this. We need to publicly grieve. We need to wail. We need to touch the body. We need to be with death, because it has gotten way too tidy and way too hastened, and we've created a death-adverse society. And, you know, I kind of look at it as if we aren't able to see both death and life and all that's in between, all the seasons of life, then where are we? How are we living life if we aren't able to look death square on
exactly.
in the face?
Yeah, I agree.
Or look life square on in the face. I think we're kind of sitting in the middle.
Right.
So death to me, just like birth, it's a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. And I have seen it's transformative. People who have had significant loss in their life, had an early death of a parent, had a friend die in a car accident when they're 18. It transforms people. It's not easy. I'm not suggesting that for everybody. But there is something about it that is incredibly transformative. And that doesn't mean it's good. It's incredibly sad to lose someone, you know, when their husband of 55 years dies when they're 85. It's not easy. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it changes things, and it's not always for the good, but it's not always for the bad either. And just to your what you had said early, there's one of my mentors and friends. Her name is Elizabeth Knox, and she was one of the founding mothers of the National Home Funeral Alliance, and she had a daughter who died early in a car accident, I believe at the age of 7. She was under 10. And that was her introduction to this work, and then it changed her direction of her life and what she does. And while I don't know how involved she is anymore, but what she says is knowing can better tend to our departed than those who have known and loved them. Mm. And I agree with that. I feel like that's exactly what this is all about. We care for our loved ones during life. Why wouldn't we want to care for them in death too?
And
I think where I come in is, people are oftentimes caregivers, partners are taking care of their loved ones, family members are caregivers, and they can oftentimes at the end of life become just exhausted. And so I come in to just help kind of buoy and guide people through a time that can oftentimes feel really ungrounded, and sometimes they're exhausted. And so I've found that just my presence, and most home vigil guys' presence, just being there and holding that space and knowing where those transition pivot points are and guiding three people through the next step and the next step and the next step is just really helpful in just supporting the family through this really deep transition.
Wonderful. Well, you know what? We are at the end of the
show. That's what I was thinking. It was going to go fast, and it did.
I know. It always does, because it's a fascinating topic, because to truly, in my opinion, embrace life, we have to honor and love death, because it's one and the same. You know, I didn't even get to ask you my favorite question. So if you can be brief, what is next? What in for, you know, for Ann Murphy, who is from A Thousand Hands, who's this wonderful funeral celebrant and home vigil guide and death educator, what is the next room for you? What do you envision?
Love.
Ah.
Everywhere.
Beautiful.
In, out, and just awe.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ann Murphy, this has been an absolute delight. It's 1000hands.com is her website. She's just a remarkable woman who really cares about, as you can tell, is very passionate and very much loves and wants you to have a beautiful send-off for your loved one. So, Ann, thank you so much. I am so happy that we finally got to have this conversation. I know we had some storms in Detroit and we had to be rescheduled, so I'm glad that you're finally on the program.
Oh, Jane, it was such a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure as well. The next room, my guest was Ann Murphy from 1000hands.com. If you have any questions for her, you want to reach out to her, please go to her website. It's beautiful. You can get educated there about maybe what you want for your loved one if they've passed. You know, and that's the fun thing. It's all about education and kind of waking up and saying, this is what I desire for my loved one, not what you want for me, but what the family wants as they send off their loved one into the next room. So thanks so much for tuning in tonight. I will speak to you again next week.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.